I asked everybody to raise their hand if you've ever done what is going on up here, if you've ever driven a nail into a wall, how many people have done that? There's probably a few kids that haven't. There's one kid that has driven in the wall, so maybe the parents don't know about that. But anyhow, we've probably all done it. So that's part of a home ownership. There's always a picture that needs to go someplace. Now, some of us might have a little bit of builder in our backgrounds, and we say, well, we've got to have a 2x4 that we've got to screw into. We've got to find the stud. But most of us just put a nail up here. You got a little picture in the kitchen, a little picture in the dining room, smiling pictures of your kids or your grandparents or yourselves doing something fun on there. So you wanted to knock that nail into the wall. Well, sometimes you don't hit what you're trying to hit. So this is a 3D rendering. You see, that's the wall. That's like when you're putting the nail in the wall, but there's actually what you're getting into. And I don't know about the rest of you, but for those that know what's behind most walls and most buildings, especially if you see a plug at the bottom of the wall, I would recommend not taking a nail and a hammer and driving it right above the outlet, because in most cases, in fact, probably all cases, there is a conduit line running right behind where you're getting ready to hammer. And occasionally, you're going to drive that nail right into a place that's probably going to lighten your life up a little bit. And so you might see something like that. So the title of my lesson today is Tapping into Power. So I started off with a couple funny things, and we're going to get serious with this towards the end. But there, as Kyle's lesson talked a lot about the types of power devices that there may be in existence. It could be a car battery. It could be one of those little tiny batteries that go inside of a watch, or maybe a smartphone. Kyle's got a smart watch. I know the batteries in those are pretty powerful too. And so there's all kinds of different battery types like he talked about. And when we looked at that from a spiritual perspective, as he pointed out, sometimes a battery may be perfectly good on the outside but perfectly useless inside. I can't tell you how many times that Kyle and Nick and Mike and I go back there and we have to keep changing out batteries because the speaker gets up here, they're ready to talk, and you can't hear half of what they're saying because the battery is not working. It looks exactly like a brand new battery, but it's depleted. And so keeping that in mind and going forward, my lesson is going to look less about the battery, but what we're tying into. And it's going to start off with a lot of funny but very negative views of what we tap into more often and what we should be tapping into. So, again, going back here, yeah, you got your wall up there, you're just trying to put a picture up. Whoops, you've gone into the power line, and now you've got real problems. Not only problems here, but you're going to probably have other problems in your house. You're probably going to trip a breaker. If you have an older house, you might have a fuse, and that might be broken too. So what we're going to talk about today, and I thought it was funny too when I was looking at Kyle's lesson, we kind of structured our lessons very similarly as far as our outlines on here. So the first thing on there we've already looked at, unintentional tapping power. We don't want to go someplace. We've tried to do something that's a positive. We've tried to do something for ourselves, but in the result, either ignorantly or without thinking or without paying attention to all the key indicators that there might be risk involved, we've knocked the nail right into the power source behind that wall. So other things we're going to talk about, the wrong way to do it, bad sources, too little and low batteries. We're going to be looking at the wrong way to tap into power. We're going to look at tapping into power that is not good for the device that you're using. What happens when you have too little power? There's lots of different voltages that we can use. Some devices are only made to use a small amount of power. Others need a huge amount. And then finally, as Kyle kind of talked about too, the low battery. Another family story. I'm going to leave the family member out of this story, but it's one that I still think is hilarious and could have been very catastrophic, but I smile about that. I called two of my family members last night and got a call back from one of them to verify this story was true, because as you get older, sometimes the things that you've heard over time, you think, man, that was a fact. That really did happen. And then you find out, no, they were messing with you. I'm like, okay. So I called this person, and they said, yep, it did happen. So this is a washer right here. If you see up here, I believe that is a top-loading washer. Some people are switching over to the front-loading washers, but for this lesson, this is a good analogy. We're talking about power, and so most electrical devices in your home are going to be like around 110, 120 in that range of voltage there. So that's when you're agitating. That's when you've got everything dumped in there, and that's just going back and forth, mixing those clothes, water, and detergent together. Unless you're my son, and then it's just mixing clothes and water, and nothing's really happening. Okay, so the spin cycle. I used to be fascinated by that when I was a kid, is when the thing kicks in and it just pushes all that water out. maybe the less mechanically inclined don't know what's actually happened, but it's using centrifugal force to push all that water out there, and then it goes into a pump and gets pushed out, and that's why your clothes come out not only mostly dry, but they're also frozen to the sides of the basin of the washer. This is what happens, if my clicker works, this is what happens if you accidentally hook up your 110-volt outlet to a 220-volt outlet and try to wash your clothes. And that did happen. I was confirmed that yesterday, as I mentioned. But this certain family member that I was talking about, younger than me, we'll just say that, had just got into home building, kind of forced upon them. And when you look at a 110 line versus a 220 line, most of the time it's pretty evident because the 220 is going to be a little thicker, a little heavier gauge wire. But in some cases, that's not always true. And anyhow, they hooked their washer up to the 220, and they said the washer was just going crazy. It was working, but man, it was just agitating 10 times faster than normal. So that is the wrong way to tap into power. So we looked at the unintentional way to tap into power. When you hammer something in the wall and you're like, ah, that was not the right thing to do. You can hook a power line up. Maybe it's just the wrong voltage. What about bad sources? Well, I'm not going to put videos on here, but I did last lesson. I took some screenshots of a YouTube video, and I thought this was pretty good. So when we're looking at the bad sources for your devices when you're tapping into power, where your power comes from is important for me. You can have either voltage that's irregular. You can have voltage that's too much. You can have voltage that's too little. If your device needs something specific, it will cause an effect on that. And sometimes the device itself, like Kyle talked about batteries, the battery itself could be faulty. We've heard plenty of news about that. This is this gentleman down on the bottom here, and I'll have to point some things out because it's really blurry. This gentleman here, Xiaomi M4i smartphone, so this is not a U.S. typical phone that you'd see in the United States, but he's actually sitting here at work with his phone. Let's just hope that he's doing something for work. But anyhow, he's sitting here at his desk. He's got the phone right there. It's very hard to see, but on the video, you can see that the cord is plugged into the phone, so he's obviously keeping it charged at work on his computer. Next screen, I went ahead and drew a line on there so you could pay attention. Kind of keep your eye on the people in the background, too. Super blurry on here, but just kind of keep. There's people in the office all around there. There's people standing over here. There's people at desks and around this person. Next thing you see, something happens on the phone. The guy, if you're watching the video, he just jumps up and he throws the phone. And what it does is the phone lands right there. Still, the cord kind of pulls it to the computer. He jumps out, and everybody else is still doing their thing up there. Now, if you see on the side of the keyboard, there's a little spark shooting out the side of it. So you can see that jet of fire coming out there. Really funny, the guy across there, if you can just see his face right there, he's like, something's going on, what is that? Everybody else is kind of oblivious to it, but he's like, whoa, what's going on? Next picture, more things are going on. Now you see the difference between those two pictures. Half of the staff's jumping out of their seats and moving on. Still fire coming out of that battery. Next thing, the battery blows up, catches fire. Fire shoots out of it, darkens the office. And now you see everybody else is clearly paying attention to the situation at hand. There's fire on the wall where the part of the battery cell splashed out. The phone's on fire and still plugged in. Finally, everybody's standing there looking and seeing what's happened. The phone's starting to kind of cool down, and then they're down at the bottom left-hand corner of the screen, there's an office worker that I thought at first he was being smart and he was using a fire extinguisher to put out the fire. I think he was actually throwing water on it, which is a scary thing. Please don't do that. Electrical fires and gas fires are not good for water. So, tapping into the power, that's a bad source. He had a bad source. It may not have been his computer, but in most cases, and Kyle and I were talking about this last Wednesday, everybody can get a USB connector for their phones these days and plug them into their car socket. They can plug them into their house socket. But if you ever check with a manufacturer, they're going to highly recommend that you not do that because those things are pretty much unregulated. They don't have consistent voltages. How many of you have had a phone where you've gone on vacation, you plugged your phone into those little USB jacks they have on the lights there, and the next day your phone's not working? Well, that's because the source is not good for your device. So tapping into the power, unintentionally doing it, the wrong way of doing it, and bad sources. What about too little? Kyle talked about his love of batteries. There's one big difference between there. I'm an anti-battery person, so every time Katie and James got any gift at all, I would just say, does it have a battery? That was my first qualification there. And if they did, I'd have to work on their mom to get it. Now, I love batteries, don't get me wrong, but the very things that Kyle mentioned about the difficulties with them is the expense, having to keep up with them, knowing whether they're good or bad. In this case, if you're trying to jumpstart your car with that AAA battery, you're not going to have a whole lot of success with that. I learned a lot about voltage and amperage. That's a 1.5 volt battery, is what actually most batteries, AAA, AA, D batteries, C batteries, they're all 1.5 volts until you get up to a 9 volt. But look at the amperage. Amperage is measuring the weight or the muscle that battery has, and it's 0.1 amp. Cars take, if you ever had to buy a battery for your car, sometimes you'll have to ask them about cold cranking amps, or what I've got down there is CCA. A car requires 400 to 600 cold cranking amps. That's how much muscle a car requires to spin the engine that has compression and all the difficult things that's inside your engine. So 0.1 is not going to provide 400 to 600 of those amps. So what do we have here? Well, that's just way too small. Not enough. The power is insufficient for what's needing to be done. And again, going kind of up to what Kyle's lesson was showing us there, that's when we all get worried. How many times have you been talking and you've been on vacation? Maybe you've had your Bluetooth on your phone, you had your Wi-Fi on your phone, and you've been traveling and your phone's constantly, not known to you, your phone's been trying to connect to your home Wi-Fi system over and over and over again, killing the battery. And a lot of times if you're traveling, you've got a map on, you've got all these other things running, and so your phone's just going down to nothing, and you get to really where you're supposed to be. And what happens to us a lot of times, because we leave in the morning to try to arrive someplace in the evening, and you get ready to get the most critical information about where your destination is, and it says, phone shutting off, battery too low. It's like, I need it more than ever right now. So if you see this, this is a problem. So that's the low battery problem that you have. So how do we spin this around spiritually? We're going to look at the same things. Tapping into power. Unintentional, the wrong way of doing it, bad sources, too little, and low battery. So a lot of these verses, what I've tried to do is put bold text in places where we see the typical worldly approach and why it's not suitable for a spiritual application for trying to be the people of God. All right, so back to our picture about hammering into the electric line at home, unintentional. Acts chapter 26:18 says, to open their eyes, this is Jesus' words here, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Remember, and don't ever forget this, we think of power with God. God has power to create. He has the power to create the world. He created us. He created all things. If we don't have faith in God for that ability that He has, we should have never become Christians. We should not be here today. Because we believe those things, that's why we're here. That's why we have fear for Him. That's why we have the respect for God that He deserves. But God, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, over and over, and Jesus too, have referred to the power of Satan. Satan's power is confined to this world, but where do we live? Do we not live on this world, on this planet? Satan does have power for us. You can see that in how Satan dealt with Job and the discussion between Job and God and Satan. Everything on this world is a power of Satan if we let him treat us that way. So when we're trying to tap into the power of God, we have to be constantly aware of unintentionally tapping into the power of Satan. One of them takes work. One of them takes no work at all. You can do anything Satan wants you to do by just doing nothing. You can stay at home. You can ignore God. You can not study. You can live your life and have fun, and you will absolutely not have to worry about meeting the power of God in your life. But you will have to give an account for that. Secondly, I went back in Jeremiah chapter 10:23, and Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So again, that accidental nail in the wall that goes into the power line, just clearly unintentional in that situation. And so true is it for humans to do what God wants us to do. It's not in us to do it. It takes us getting outside of us, looking to what the Bible tells us it is to be acceptable by God. Again, the illustration that we had there of what 220 volt versus 110 volt or 115, 120 volt can do for your home washing system. Thessalonians 2:9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. You know, to the person that hooked that washer up like that, it may have looked like they were tapping into the right power. Everything seemed to look proper, there was power there. Obviously, the power was bountiful. And there was no sign when they hooked that up that they were doing anything incorrectly. And that is the way it is with Satan, as is being pointed out here in Thessalonians 2:9. Sorry, I didn't put which book on there. But Satan, again, has power. He has the way to make us think that we're doing things correctly. And if we just pay attention to the surface, sometimes we can be tricked. And we know that that is the whole purpose of Satan, is to trick us into doing his will. Hosea 6:1-2 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight." Now this passage talks about a lot of positive things, and I told you I was trying to show the negative parts of doing things incorrectly. But look at the very beginning of that. "Come and let us return to the Lord." All these other things are results of not being where God is, to going away from Him. That you can't return to something if you've never been there. You would have to see it for the first time. And so this is a warning for all people, to leaving God will also bring difficulty for us. We talked about the exploding phone on here and the bad sources of power that we can tap into. Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places." Again, please pay attention to the bold points there. Principalities, powers, rulers, darkness of this age, and the wickedness. All these things are what we constantly are battling against, just like that person that plugged that device in there and maybe thought they were doing the right thing, but the result was destruction. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, "No one has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, and no one has the power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it." The biggest thing about that is just reminding us that death is going to be an absolute certainty for all of us. Sometimes it's closer than we want it to be. Sometimes it's closer for relatives than we want it to be. But that idea of the fact that death exists, and that war, we're constantly battling this war of trying to align our spiritual minds, our basically everything that's inside of our human bodies, to the point of being accepted by God and escaping the simple approach to being in Satan's grasp. We talked about too little power when you need a lot of it. Habakkuk 1:3-5 says, "Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife, and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told to you." So again, not enough power. Look at the words that I've got bolded here. Iniquity, trouble, plundering, violence, strife, contention, powerlessness. Again, all these things exist because you are not going the way that God has invited you to go, to come to Him. And so, as it gets down there, wicked surround us. So not only do we have problems to contend with ourselves, but all these other people are taking part in those same things and making it seem more like the normal things for us. Low battery. Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son of His love." What happens when you're out of power? We've experienced this at our houses from time to time. You know, if there's a storm, one reason why kids get so afraid of lightning storms and thunder and things like that is because if it gets too close, the lines on the power lines outside will typically break loose. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't know that. I just thought the lightning struck down and it was actually severing those lines and they were breaking apart and they're just laying down, shocking everything. I grew up and realized that they basically have safety devices in the power lines. And if you've ever seen them, if you look at the top of the poles, you'll see this thing, it looks like a baton, and it's connected between lines. And what happens if the lightning strikes that power, it just falls out of place and breaks that circuit. The tricky thing, and Dad's probably experienced this with the work that he's done with Time Warner, the electrical people have to go out there and try to figure out where that break is, because even today, with all the computer equipment we've got, there's not a lot of detail to tell somebody, hey, this is where this exact break happened. Sometimes it may happen in multiple places. So we'll have darkness, and we want to be delivered from that darkness. None of us like that. If you wake up in the morning, I mean, we all would probably prefer not to have to go to school or work, but it does make us very uncomfortable not knowing when your electronic alarm is going to go off in the morning. Is it going to be on time? Is it going to be wrong? Am I going to make it to work on time? You stay awake sometimes all night worried that you're going to not get up on time. Again, so much of our lives are controlled by power. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Again, this idea of the fact that darkness is so prevalent in society by default. Ephesians 5:11, just a few verses past that. We have no fellowship with what? The unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So again, that contrast of where we are and what we're trying to avoid. Closing thoughts. Again, try to go through your mind and process all the things that Kyle and I have talked about today. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus' words, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here today who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present with power. Is this something that's going to be happening down the road, or is this something that's happened? If we know our Bibles and we've studied, we know that this was Jesus talking to people in person, saying that when I die and I come off that cross, something is going to change. This Old Testament that you're so familiar with is going to go away. And just like this power we're talking about, a transition in power is going to happen. I'm going to be in control, and the way that that's going to happen is because I'm going to be raised from the dead. You'll see me, but most of all, the power is going to be what happened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So there's two things. First of all, the kingdom was told that it was going to come, and it has come. We're part of that kingdom today, or at least that kingdom exists. So if we want to be part of that, we need to lay hold of eternal life. We need to take advantage of that. And that's why the church is always preaching the gospel of Christ. Hebrews 3:12 through 14, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. One of the directions I was going to take in another point to this lesson was about being grounded. And grounding is so important when you're talking about electricity, especially if you're talking about on a car or on a house. Because if things go awry, you want to have that ground be able to take that power and get rid of it. It's the ground that actually makes that safe. And just like we've talked in lessons recently, it's also the ground that is a foundation for our homes. And so when we're thinking about this tapping into the power, this verse reminds us that sometimes power will diminish. As Kyle talked about, and we've talked about so many times on Wednesday night, we get to those low points, those low batteries. The cells all drop down. And how do we protect about that? Well, we exhort one another daily. We, just like the little toys, I found a flashlight my wife had gotten in one of her energy classes. She's a science teacher at Clinton Massey. And you'd take it and you'd spin this little thing on the side and it would build up power inside of it. And you could actually flip that on at one time. It doesn't work anymore, but you could do that. And I think about that flashlight when we're dealing with each other. Sometimes people, you keep flipping that switch and you can tell them, man, they just don't have any light coming out of them right now. They seem to be suffering. There's some low points in their lives. And so it's up to us to help them crank that power up. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule, all authority, and power. So we've taken a short amount of time and we've kind of gone the gamut here. We've used some little bit funny approaches to tapping into the power, how we can do it by accident, the problems that we can run into there. But this final verse is one I think I really want you to be very careful to look at and careful to think about, because this impacts a Christian that's doing good, a Christian that's doing poorly. This impacts a person that's not a Christian. Everything that God has given to us in the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament always knew that something was going to happen in the future, that there was going to be a Savior, that there was going to be this change, their sacrifices were going to go away, and they had that to look forward to. We live in a time where everything has happened. The only thing that remains now is for the end to come. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15:24 is talking about. It will happen. Christ said it's going to happen. All the apostles said it was going to happen. The prophets of the Old Testament said it was going to happen. And so it is coming. And even you ask people today, and they say, well, you can tell the world's not going to last much longer. However God deals with the end of times, we know little bits and pieces about it from the Bible. But we know for a fact that it will end, and we absolutely know for a fact that our lives will not go on forever. And so we need to make sure the power that we're tapped into, going back to Kyle's lesson, that we are the strongest, most capable battery that's fully charged always, if possible. And in my lesson, that the power that we're tapped into is not my mom, is not my dad, is not my friend or my fellow churchgoer or somebody that I grew up with. My power is only Christ. And the reflection of Him in my life may be able to encourage those around me, but they never look to me. They always look to Christ. Because even Christ Himself said, when we talked about it in class today, the ruler said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, why are you calling me good? There's only one who's good. So even Christ, the embodiment of the Godhead in human form, said, no, not me, God. And so keep in mind those things as we wrap up today. So I encourage you, if you have any needs, don't rush through this. Don't kick into your automatic mode that you do on Sunday where we sing, pray, take communion, sing, and get out of here and go get lunch. That's just how we do things. Break the habit today. If you have a need in your life, if you're having difficulty, let somebody know. We can't recharge each other if we don't know about it. I can stand in front of you. Again, don't look at me as a good person. I'm just a person that's filling a role today. I'm trying to do the very same things that we talked about. So please take your songbooks. If you have any needs or you want to be a Christian, please make that known as we stand and sing now.